Welcome, everyone, to the Functional Spirituality Podcast. My name is Ava. I'm your host. And today we have a special episode where I want to introduce Anaid. We are about to launch a new business together. So I want to introduce ourselves as a partnership and talk a little bit about the key elements of our practice. And yeah, a little bit of a tease about what's to come in the next couple of weeks as we are going to launch our new offering to the world. So yeah, Anaid, you might know her already from behind the scenes of Functional Spirituality. If you've done retreat with us, you would know her from retreat. She's my partner in crime. She helps with a lot of the administration of Functional Spirituality. She is one of our teachers at Spunda. And I was just trying to think back, like, when did I first meet Anaid? And I know Anaid was coming to the studio a little bit, based in Fremantle. I'd kind of seen her around, maybe hadn't been to many of my classes, or just here and there, I think back in 2019. And I think the first time that I really remember Anaid Jimenez Del Rio, you know, that name like coming across my awareness, was probably when you applied for the teacher training program. And that's where I I read about you and heard about you and, you know, your Kundalini yoga practice and your Reiki and your naturopathy. And I was like, oh, who is this woman? You know, and hadn't quite put the face to the name. And yeah, I mean, that was like, for me, that was like kind of like the start of our journey together. And then I think it was 2020, you did the functional flow, 2020 functional flow.
It must have been 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when the love relationship started for me. But yeah, I'll let you introduce yourself, Anaid. Yeah. How you found Spunda, any highlights of the experience and of working with FS and the challenges as well. Just share about yourself.
Well, hello. Yes, I first went to Spunda back in 2019. I moved to Perth that year, at the end of that year. And I remember clearly Googling Fremantle Yoga Studios, and Spunda was the first one.
Yes.
So I went to Spunda, and ever since I arrived, I felt so welcomed. I think everyone who's been to the studio shares the same experience, that feeling like it's a big warm hug. So I love the classes. I remember my first class was with Claire. And yeah, I loved all of the classes. And back then I was going through a big transition, moving countries. I was recovering from a back injury. I was experiencing, burnout from my job in Mexico, from what I was doing in Mexico. So Spunda really did help me, and the yoga classes at Spunda helped me so much. So yeah, I decided to do the yoga teacher training in 2020 because I loved it so much. I could feel the effects firsthand of the yoga practice and embodiment practices that are functional and efficient. So, and then once I finished the training, I started being a part of the cover teachers group. And then we started doing the yin and cacao ceremonies. Oh, that's right. I was working at another job. And I remember I wasn't feeling very aligned to that job anymore. So I quit my job. And there was that opportunity for us to work together, for me to work for FS. For me, it was an instant yes. I was like, definitely, my values are aligned to functional spirituality's values. And yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I love working so much with you and with functional spirituality, because the values that we both have are so aligned. And it just feels so nice to be working for a project that is touching so many hearts in a very deep way. And yeah, challenges about working for FS. I guess the main challenge would be working in front of the computer. Yeah, mostly because it gets tiring to be in front of a screen. But other than that, I really love doing email automations, creating web pages, editing the podcast. Yeah, I love all of
You do it
that.
well, very, very well. I forgot to mention just like, just so easy working together. It's like a twin. It's less like my Mexican twin. Our birthdays are only 10 days apart, and everything that we do just feels so effortless. Like when we were running the cacao together, that was a bit of a leap, working and creating an offering. I think it was one of the first offerings. Actually, I used to collaborate with my other Mexican best friend, and we used to run T2 together in Bali. But yeah, it had been a while since I'd collaborated with someone, bringing someone on where I could really trust them as an equal, to hold the space. And it was just perfect. I was like, oh yeah, I want to do this every month. And we just love our cacao and yin ceremonies that we run. And I also forgot to say that you are, people might remember you from the cacao guided meditation on the podcast, which is like the by far most popular episode on the podcast with like thousands and thousands of downloads that, surpass any of the philosophy or talks or anything that I've ever recorded, which I love, makes me so proud. It feels so good to support someone else to do something so awesome like that. So, yeah, it's
Thank
such an
you.
honor.
Well, thanks for opening your podcast for me. It's
Oh,
for me
my
it's an
pleasure.
honor. When I recorded that cacao ceremony, I didn't imagine it was going to
Yeah.
reach so many people.
Everyone that you
Awesome.
know. Yeah, so I just love everything that we facilitate together. And I mean, it just was such a, like, I've never started a business with someone else as well. So it just kind of all made sense. But we'll speak more about our business in the next episode. So, something that people ask us about a lot is about our self-care practice. People kind of want to know what's going on behind the scenes and also what kind of practice they should aim for as well. So I thought it'd be nice to, just hear from you. What does your self-care practice look like? But first, maybe even what does that phrase actually mean to you? Self-care practice. What does that look like for you?
Yes, it's an interesting phrase because it's, I think, maybe a lot of us resonate to the fact that it is a journey, it's a process. It's not something that one day we wake up and feel like, oh, yeah, I have this amazing self-care practice. And it's also that something that means different things to different people, but also to ourselves in different stages of our lives. But in general, I feel like it is a practice or it's a moment that you carve out for yourself where you can pause, relax, and kind of empty your cup. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with that analogy of having the cup full, and obviously there's no capacity for holding anything else, any more water, and it overflows. So I feel like, yeah, my self-care practices help me empty my cup so I can have a bit more capacity for challenges in life or for whatever comes. And also, I feel like self-care practices can also help you cultivate and nourish certain parts of yourself or the things that you like doing. So I don't really have a specific self-care practice. I think I have a list of things that I really enjoy doing. But generally, what I do at the beginning is to pause, breathe, inquire how I'm feeling, what I need in the moment. Maybe I need something more active, like doing exercise, or something more relaxing for my system.
Is that time that you carve out, is that scheduled at the beginning of the week or something? Or do you schedule that in? Or is it spontaneously as your day is flowing, you've got a habit of saying, of like checking in and doing a self-care practice?
I tried scheduling it, and that used to create a bit of stress for me. Some people may like scheduling it, but in my case, I personally like just finding a moment in my day where I can pause and do that. The main practice that I do every day at the same time is making my cup of tea in the morning. And that for me is part of my self-care practice. I have a cup or two of green tea. The time where I pause, I really enjoy sipping it, try to be present in the moment, look at the window, look at the birds, the tree. And it's that time for myself where I'm like just not thinking about what's going to come or what's past, just being present. And I really enjoy that. But yeah, throughout the day, I just schedule it on the day. They say, all right, well, I have a bit of time around 4 o'clock. I'll do something around that time.
And do you ever like wish it was different or wish, you know, something like wish to change or improve it at any point? Like, you know, feel like, oh, I need to do more of this and put some forethought into that and plan that in somehow?
Probably when I didn't have a consistency in my self-care practice, when I was like, oh, I should be doing more yin yoga or more meditation or more of these. But nowadays, I think I have a list of practices that are in my toolkit. So I just go for those ones and I feel like I get a lot from them. Something that I would like to highlight is the intention and where that intention is coming from, whether it's coming from a place of self-care, love, or an intention of self-attunement and self-care and love, rather than coming from a state of feeling unworthy or lacking of something. Because I feel like that creates an extra stress. And for me, a key element of a self-care practice is to cultivate that love and that care for yourself, coming from that intention, not from a state of unworthiness and lack of.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting point where, like, you know, because you spoke about self-care as like kind of, you know, there can be a yin form where it's about emptying your cup, increasing your capacity, taking a pause, digesting your life. And then you can have a self-care practice that's maybe more like cultivating something. And that's like filling your cup, but with capacity somehow. You know, there's like different ways of using that phrase. But what you're speaking about just then, that, you know, beware statement that you said, is kind of like there's something inside that feels uncomfortable. There's something inside that needs actually like healing and processing. And then you might cover it up, like, because cultivating tools are about, you know, I'm not strong enough, I'm not balanced enough, I'm not relaxed enough, you know, so they are out of a not enoughness. But the intention isn't to kind of cover over it. I think what you said actually describes it quite well, is like, if what you're doing is actually creating more stress, but toxic stress, like it's adding to discomfort and a feeling of being troubled inside, it's like kind of perpetuating it somehow. So that intention, like for me, that just, it's crystal clear, like you could feel that or not. And then there is a tension of like, okay, look, I'm not eating well enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not, you know, whatever enough. And it's, you're feeling inspired. And that's what cultivating is, like it is from a lack. So yeah, it's a very, very interesting point I haven't thought about before. It's just so nuanced. Happy we're having this conversation, but I feel like it's a whole book about self-care that we're kind of like, you know, opening a can of worms. The way you first described it as self-care being a journey, or you said it's more like a process rather than something that's static. And I so believe in that. Otherwise, you know, that's like the fine line between self-care and discipline. Discipline requires like a motivation and a focus that it will get used up in that process of discipline. And what we want with self-care is more that it becomes like a habit or a lifestyle kind of mechanism, where it gets incorporated into the life and you're not relying on motivation, because your motivation will totally wane and get used up by other efforts in your life. And you want to find some way of making self-care, whether it's healing or cultivating, you want to find a way to make that a habit. And sometimes the way to make things a habit is through discipline, because if you get enough enjoyment and you get enough results and skill in something, it can become enjoyable, like playing an instrument or playing a sport, and then that becomes something you don't need motivation anymore. The motivation is inherent in it because it's you're good at it and you're getting results that you really like, whether it's just the joy or the actual healing effects from using those tools. So at the beginning, your self-practice might look like scheduling a time, going on retreat, doing a course. So more discipline-based, structured, formal ways. And then maybe it can relax into more of a habit, which is what it would be for us, more like a habit and a lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And it's very important where you're coming from. Because if it's, because actually you can identify, maybe I need to work on healing this part of myself if I want to cultivate certain things, but I'm feeling that lack of or feeling unworthy in some ways. Maybe the first step can be to address why I'm feeling like that, inquire, have a bit of time, journal, and have a bit more clarity in your intentions and the steps that you want to take for your self-care practice.
Like intention is kind of like a buzzword, right? And people kind of just nod along like, yeah, intention is so important. But I think what the way that you're describing intention is actually the core of creating a habit and a lifestyle. Like it's so much, this is the absolute root of it. And I mean, this is something that I contemplate to no end. I'm so interested in, like, because if you can form a habit that is the thing you want to most do, the thing that you think you really should do, if that was to become a habit, you would become a professional at whatever it is that you're interested in. So I'm so interested in it. And I really do think it is intention, but not in like a woo-woo way. So I just want to reiterate and consolidate what you're saying about intention, that like the key to making that a habit or, part of your lifestyle is to be really clear about, like, to me, intention is clarity. Like it's a deeper discerning, because you can have superficial intention, right? Like you can have an intention to lose weight, but there are deeper intentions behind that, and when we're talking about habit and lifestyle, this is the unconscious mind, right? This is our autopilot. This is what's guiding our behavior, right? Instead of guiding our thoughts. So we can have these thoughts on the surface, but our unconscious mind, our programming, our conditioning, our old brain is what's like guiding our behavior. So if you want to make something a habit, if you want to dig into the deeper motivation, like what is actually motivating behavior, you have to get intentional on a deeper level. So if I think about my self-care practice, just kind of briefly thinking about it when I asked you the question, this popping into mind, like really my what's so consistent in my self-care practice isn't meditation or isn't working out or isn't, my art or isn't self-massage or like all of the different pieces from my big list, like you said. But the thing that is so consistent for me, besides warm water in the morning, I also like it's not as intentional as your tea ceremony. It's more like I just need to get like water in me in the morning. I have this weird habit. But the thing that's really consistent for me in my self-care practice is being super intentional, like every single night. And if not only at night, like absolutely every night, but also other times in the day, I sit with my journal and my pen and I'm like, what do I want? What do I want tomorrow to look like? What's my list? Like reviewing my list, does this list still reflect my deeper intentions? I'm so consistent with that. And I think I share this in other podcasts and other trainings about cultivating. But I think it's more important than even doing the stuff. I'm not as consistent with doing stuff as I am with getting really clear about my intentions. So that looks like, thinking about the day ahead, thinking about what I really want. At any time in my life, there'll be like a few kind of goals So right now, my goals and my self-care practice are strengthening movements, just because it's something that's super relevant for me right now. One, still kind of on the last dregs of repairing from my body from pregnancy. And then also like having this bowling ball, this 10 kilo awkwardly shaped bowling ball that wants to be lifted up all the time. In the form of this growing toddler, you know, so it is important for my back, and I want to be proactive with it.
Yeah.
So strength is one, and the other one that is a goal of mine is formal spiritual practice. So formal sitting, formal yoga, basically formal yoga and meditation sitting, where I'm having a dedicated practice rather than doing my embodiment, my meditation in those gaps, you know, in the day, which is the best. I love that, but that's just a goal I have at the moment. I'm loving a formal practice, and I'm not doing it enough. So that's what I want, you know. So I'm not, you know, as I'm checking my intention every day, it's not always changing. Like, I really want to get better on my bicycle, or I really want to do more art. Like, those things come up from my list. Like, okay, today might be that, but I'm not in a phase of watercolor painting right now. I'm in a phase of this is what I want to dedicate my time to. And that's kind of clear as overarching goals. But as the day flows every day, I think, what do I want to do? And I want to say one more thing about my self-care practice. You know, it's just thinking about those informal moments, and there's something else that's kind of made its way into my life, which is, I don't know if it's like which way around it's come, if it's come from being more embodied and being more present, and then this has come as a result, or if it's because I have a desire to be more embodied and being more present, but definitely sensuality. So connecting to my senses in a way that I feel grounded and pleasure and embodied has become a part of my self-care practice. Whether it's, you know, just rubbing my oil on my legs after a shower to moisturize that weird like skin itch I'm getting, you know, those bites that I'm getting. So whether it's just like rubbing oil into my legs, or spraying our aromatherapy, or having a little, you know, a little snack or a little bite of chocolate, it's become like such a grounding, sensual, embodied part of my life. You know, there's so much in that intention revealing process that I do. So it probably is a result of this. There's so much in that intent. So many times when I'm revealing my intention, like my deepest intention is to be in my body, feeling pleasure, feeling present, like feeling gratitude, and being so satisfied with life. Like, that's my highest kind of one of my highest goals and priorities for myself. And I think reiterating that week after week has created that spontaneously. I mean, it's taken years, but that's how I've done that. And my life is just filled at those moments, you know, looking at the tree, and of course, like retreat as well, consolidating that presence and embodiment so much. But yeah, just loving every tiny reflection of beauty and sensuality is like definitely a cornerstone of my self-care practice that just keeps deepening. It's not formal, there's no discipline. There is like work that goes into it, which is like reiterating that this is important to me. And then it kind of, you know, that's the work, and the result is, you know, it's showing up in my life in that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Self-care practices, those moments, not all of them, but sometimes they're those moments in our lives where we can be present doing something that we love doing, and anything that has to do with the senses, connecting to the senses, bring us back to this moment and to what is here. We're often caught up in, you know, the past or thinking about the future, what's to come, and we're constantly bombarded by things in our phone and everywhere, our families, relationships. So pausing and connecting to the senses, becoming sensual, help us be in this present moment and have a little break.
Totally. I mean, like, I'm just thinking back to my spiritual path when I was like kind of pre and post burnout. I was so desperate for going in a walk in nature. But if I think about it really, I was just desperate to actually be present in nature. Like, I was going for walks in nature, but I was like not enjoying it. And now I can like sit in the studio, on South Street in Fremantle and look out the window at that tree. And my body is just, it's better than any walk, I think, we know we want to be in nature, but why? Like, what do we really want? We want to be grounded in the senses, in our bodies, feeling pleasure and feeling satisfied, and feeling completion. So I think directly cultivating that and being intentional about that being what we want is the direct path to cultivating that. So we have another part in this series together. We've spoken heaps, so I feel like this is a nice place to conclude. Any parting words before we part here, Anaid?
Well, I would like to share a little bit about certain challenges that can come to self-care practices. One can be the lack of time, believing that we don't have time, or not having our priorities clear. So prioritizing relationships, work, other external things instead of our self-care practice. I think for me, that's a big one that took me a while to work with, prioritizing other people's needs or other responsibilities instead of my self-care practice. So yeah, for me, yeah, it's taken me years to find that consistency, especially when we're living in a very young society. It's even more difficult to find time to pause and to have these self-care practices, these more yin-like practices. And I believe that simplicity is best. We don't need to create these mega amazing, perfect routine. Just
Totally. Such a waste of time.
yeah. Definitely. Especially because, yeah, we want to create a habit. It has to be achievable.
Yeah. If we're saying the kind of priority is to be intentional and to make it happen, I mean, being intentional really just takes a few minutes each day to kind of get clear. And then that's where you start, really. Just a few minutes each day of getting clear about what you want and let the action follow from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even like, reducing screen time for 5 minutes, that can be part of a self-care practice.
Oh, easy.
And yeah.
Totally. I think we might even have a couple of other episodes that are about creating habits. So maybe we can link a few of those in the show notes. So thank you so much for joining, Anaid. Lots more to talk about. So stay tuned for the next podcast coming up. We're going to share more about our new business together and our partnership. So look forward to sharing with you. And
Thank you. Bye.
bye.